Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory, O Lord. And thine is the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth and anywhere else is thine, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, O Lord. And thou reignest over all.
Amen.
And in thy hand is power. In thy hand is might. In thy hand it is to protect. In your hand it is to provide. In your hand it is to heal. In your hand it is to deliver. In your hand it is to make great. And to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you. And we praise your glorious name. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your hands and just worship. There's such an atmosphere of praise and divine presence in this place this morning. Ah, Lord.
And worship. ground.
You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. The praise team, they're doing an awesome job, don't you think? Put your hands together, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The praises from this platform just keep getting better. Praise God. Thank you, guys and girls. Great, great job here this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, the praising of the Lord and so forth like that, he really gets something going. You know, say, enter into his gates with what? Come into his courts with praise. Bring a psalm and bring, you know, glory to the Lord. So we thank the Lord this morning. Welcome, everyone. Good morning. And thank you for being here and joining us. We bless the name of the Lord. I am going to give a short exhortation, probably not, hopefully not too long. But I want to talk on this subject. It might not be your plan, but it may be your destiny. All right, so that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. And Father, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. And let that light shine into every heart this morning, giving wisdom and understanding and revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. It may not be your plan, but it might very well be your destiny. You may not be planning for it. You know, in fact, I'm going to tell you a few stories in the Bible. There are several, some of the greatest things that actually happened, you know, life changers and so forth, stories in the Bible. But people who were not even thinking about it. But people who were not planning for it. You know, and sometimes they even didn't want to do it. But, you know, God said, you're going to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are a few stories I just want to talk to us this morning. There are a few stories in the Bible. You know, like that. I'll just call out a few of them. There's one notable one that I would tell you, you know, towards the end. But there are several in the Bible. It will turn out that, you know, when God had a plan, actually several notable ones, and the person that God would choose might not even be the one you were thinking about, or even that person themselves might not be planning for it. You know, but God said, you're going to do it. And God chose them anyway. You know, so when we tell these stories today, I want you to reflect on your life. You know, that's what these things are all about. Reflect on your life. So it might not be your plan, but just because you're not planning for it, and just because you're not preparing for it, doesn't mean that that's not what God has chosen. And if God chose it, he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So, let's look at some stories in the Bible. I'm not, you know, going to read too much. Just tell you the stories. I might give you the places where they are in the Bible. Just tell you the stories, you know, that I go along with this lesson today. You know, there are some people that God called that didn't want to do it. Said, we can't do it, or I can't do it, and so forth. You know, and but we'll see that even from the beginning, even Moses, in his mind initially, you know, he was concerned about social justice. You know, he didn't like what he saw, but after he took the law into his hands, he ran away, and he didn't want any part of that. And when God told him, and God called him, said, no, I can't do it. I am not going. I can't speak. I can't do that.
he found all kinds of excuses until God was almost angry with him. You know, he was all, you know, look for one excuse or the other. Finally, he said, well, you know, I can't even speak. You know, up to that point, we didn't know that he couldn't speak. You know, but to find one excuse or the other. But that was one story. But there are other stories where they're not even planning for it, but it seems like it just fall upon them somehow. The story of Esther in the Bible, for instance. I mean, she was a slave girl. You know, there's no way in her mind, being a slave girl, that she would have been preparing to become a queen. Or save the entire nation of the Jews at that time. She wasn't thinking of it. She wasn't even planning for it. And when her uncle Mordecai told her to go audition, she didn't even want to do it. But, you know, she did go and do it. And eventually, you saw what happened. A lot of stories like that in the Bible. When God called Jeremiah, he said, well, you know, I'm a little boy. I can't even speak. And the Lord said, well, don't you say it, because you go and you do whatever it is I sent you to do. And I often wonder, I mean, why is it that God just picks these people, you know, and so forth? Some people that are not prepared, some that are not preparing, some that don't want to go, you know, and those are the ones. The Bible says, so that no flesh will glory in his presence. Amen. Amen. No flesh will glory in his presence. Now, even Saul of Tarsus, you know how he was destroying the faith and everything. But in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus met him, and finally, he said, wow, you know, what would I do? But it wasn't something he was planning on. In fact, he was planning the opposite. He was planning to go and get more letters, destroy more of the Christians, haul more of them into prison, and so forth. Those were the things he was planning. And he was on that very journey. Then the Lord encountered him and told him, you can't. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. There are many people in the Bible, you know, and some of the most, you know, remarkable things that happen in that Bible. There is a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that says, and behold, you know, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and I shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, this virgin, whose name was Mary, had no idea that God was going to pick her. She wasn't planning for it. In fact, the thing came upon her. I mean, it was like, how in the world? Who ever heard of such a thing? That a woman would be pregnant without being with a man? And she said, well, how is this thing going to be? And the angel said, don't worry about it. Power of the Most High will overshadow you. Hallelujah. Now, well, her life actually was thrown into a bit of confusion because of it, because it was a thing of shame to be pregnant when you're not married. You know, so, but the Lord had a hand in it, and even Joseph was minded to put her away, but the Lord had a hand in it. There are many stories in the Bible. People that God picked, they were not people that were planning for it. In fact, when Jesus was going around picking his disciples, these people, many of them weren't planning anything, so any such thing. You know, they were not even, he didn't even pick them from, you know, let's say they were sitting in front of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was teaching all of them, and then those were the ones that Jesus picked. It wasn't even that. Some of the disciples of John the Baptist followed him, but the most of the people that he called himself, they were like out doing something, out fishing, out doing whatever. I mean, none of that was even on their mind. And yet, those were the very ones that God called. And You know, an interesting story that I want to tell in the book of 1 Kings chapter 16. Now, many of you know that I love to tell stories about David. I'll always find a way to bring David into the story somehow. And this David, if I, after God rejected Saul because of his disobedience, the Lord said to Samuel, you know, I want you to go over here to this place and, you know, take something. He said, well, you know, you're going to anoint someone else a king. I'm going to show you who it is. And Samuel initially said, well, you know, if Saul heard that I can't do that, he's going to kill me. The Lord said, well, you know, that's okay. You know, you just go in there, take, you know, a heifer with you and so forth. You're going to go and make sacrifice. And while you are there, you're going to call Jesse and his sons. And then I'm going to show you who you will, you know, anoint unto me to replace Saul. And so Jesse had a lot of sons, you know. And invited every one of them except the one that would be king. Now, he was the one that was not invited at all. As a matter of fact, as soon as Jesse heard about it, I said, well, you know, get Eliab. You know, that's the oldest, lanky, you know, he's great in battle and everything, trained, you know, and so on. You know, get all these people, say, look, something good is coming your way today, so you better be ready. And so they're coming, audition before Samuel. And every last one of them, the first one came, he passed before Samuel, and Samuel said, he looked good. I mean, he saw the man, I mean, he really looked good. He looked like he could be king because he was tall. I mean, he was, I mean, well-built and everything. And so, you know, when he looked at him, he said, wow, surely this will be the Lord's anointed. Lord's anointed is now before him. The Lord said, no. That, you know, I mean, that was a downer. You know, the reason he looked at him was because of his stature. He was very built and everything. You know, and the Lord said, don't worry about his stature, height, all these things. That's not what I've chosen. I've refused him. Now, he said, the Lord does not look, you know, after the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. Hallelujah. You know, now many of us spend a whole lot of time preparing our outward appearance, but we don't spend time preparing our heart. But the Lord is saying, well, all that outward appearance, all that get up and go and things that you do and so forth. Hey, you know, God's not looking at that. He's looking at the heart. And so we need to pay attention to the things that God is looking at. So anyway, number one, number two, number three, all of them, every last one of them passed by, you know. And you know, God, the way he does his things, he could have told Samuel right off the bat that, look, David would be the one. But he didn't tell him. And you know, God reserves some things that he doesn't have to tell us. I don't care if you're a prophet, apostle, pastor, or whatever. He will tell you what he wants to tell you. If he doesn't want to tell you, he won't tell you. In fact, one time Elisha, the Shunammite woman, after her son died, you know, and she was looking for the man of God, saddle me and ass and so on. When she finally was coming close, Elisha said, there's something troubling this woman, and the Lord has not revealed it to me. That's right. The Lord doesn't have to reveal everything to you. He can reveal, and he may not reveal. And in this case, he sent Samuel on an errand, but he didn't tell him. But the one that was chosen was not preparing for it. In fact, he was not even called. He was not even invited initially. to what turned out to be his own coronation service. He was not even invited. He was despised. In fact, Jesse said, well, you know, when Samuel said, look, we're not going anywhere today. I mean, you pass all these sons, and he said, no. He said, is there yet another son? Because the Lord said, one of your sons, and you showed me all of them, and he said, no. I mean, is there yet another? And the man said, yeah, but that one, all he likes to do is stay with the sheep and play music and stuff. You know, we don't think so. You know, I mean, he can't be the one. He said, well, someone said, nobody is going anywhere today until you go and fetch him. Hallelujah. Go and call him. And then when he came, praise God. You know, David, he didn't know why he was being called, because nobody told him what was going on. Nobody invited him to the sacrifice. Nobody invited him to the audition. Nobody invited him to anything. You know, finally, you know, said, when he come, you know, it's like, and even his brothers looked at him with disdain. It's like, this one? No. You know, and Jesse? No. But when he came, ah, hallelujah. The Lord said, arise and anoint him, for that's the one. Now, David, he wasn't preparing for it. He wasn't planning for it. He wasn't even invited to it. But yet it was his destiny. Hallelujah. Now, so look, just because you are not planning for it, doesn't mean that's not what God wants you to do. Now, we must be ready to follow the leading of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, a man's heart devises his ways and plan everything. But God will choose where you are going. That's the meaning of directing your steps. God will choose where you are going. You may plan a lot of things, but God will choose where you are going. Hallelujah. In fact, sometimes we may tell the Lord our plans, and the Lord may just smile, because he's got plans of his own. Amen. Now, there's some wisdom here that I want to share in part of this message. There is a way that you can plan something. In fact, the scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. May look good to you, but the end of it may be the waste of death. You know, there's a way that we can plan something. We can plan all these things and then ask God to bless it. That's the way most of us do things. We plan everything, then we pray that God should bless it. Or you can ask God, you can ask the Holy Spirit in the first place, what will thou have me do, Lord? Or where would you have me go? Show me thy way, O Lord, that I may know thee. You can ask those questions. I mean, those are the kind of questions that Moses asked. Show me thy way, Lord, that I may know you. Well, and the Bible says that the Lord showed him his ways, but to the children of Israel, he showed them his acts. But they were not seeking the way of the Lord. And so, it is better for us to ask the Lord to show us the way than for us to make the plans and ask God to bless it. You know, it's like, well, Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. In fact, you know, we are warned that, look, don't be saying you're going to do this, you're going to do that, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, because you don't know what will be. You know, but why don't you ask the Lord? And that one is by the way. But today's lesson is about not prepared for something, but yet God chose you for it. You know. In fact, Jesus will say to, you know, his disciples, you know, he was talking to them, he said, look, in John chapter 15, he began to tell them, verse 16 or so, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You know? And I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth much fruit. And these people didn't even know, most of the time, they didn't know what came upon them. You know? In fact, after Jesus died, you know, they said, look, I go out fishing. I'm going back to my old ways. You know, I'm going back to my old ways. But it wasn't really something that they were wanting to do. But God called them to do it anyway. I can go on and on about, you know, the things that God has that we don't know anything about. And you may not be preparing for it. You may not be prepared for it. But when David, back to the story of David, it was his destiny anyway. Even though he wasn't prepared, even though they didn't call him initially, it was his destiny. But David was also a very patient man. Hallelujah. David was patient, you know. I mean, he wasn't going to try to do anything. You know, he was anointed to the throne, but yet he was not admitted openly to the throne. I mean, in those days, God would call the prophet and they anoint them, you know, anoint them with oil and so forth. You know, and during the time that they will come into the throne, they will give them a couple of things. They will give them a crown, and they will give them the testimony. The testimony were the scrolls. They give them those scrolls, you know, the Torah or whatever they had back then. They give it to them, you know, and it was the king's responsibility to follow those things. You know, now, this man was anointed. He wasn't going anywhere to be the king. It doesn't look like he's going to be the one who's there. He's not coming out of there, you know. But he was already anointed. But, you know, David was satisfied with just doing whatever it is he could do. But one day, you know, one day, see, that anointing and that calling that was in him will begin to show itself. Praise the Lord. One day his father sent him to go and check out the brethren. You know, they were in some kind of, you know, battle set, you know, against the Philistines and so on. And so David, he went. Now, again, David was not part of the army. His business was to keep the sheep, you know. So already anointed to be king, but still nowhere in any of the action. But when he got there, looking around, looking for his brothers, his oldest brother see him, said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, you know, father said I should bring you some of these things, these victuals." Brother said, "I know the pride of your heart. You couldn't stay, you should have stayed with the sheep. What's your business coming here to the battle? I know the pride of your heart. You come here to spy the battle." And David said, "What battle?" Hallelujah. "I don't see any battle. All I see is a bunch of cowards. I don't see any battle going on. I just see one man come out here, brag all day long, and the rest of you over there cowering in the corner. Where's the battle?" Praise the Lord. Something began to stir up in this guy. That there was something that God put in him. And he couldn't hide it for very long. God made him to be a commander among the people. And then, you know, immediately after a while, you know, he began to ask the next person. His brother told him, "Go back home." He left that one. He went to some other place. You know, say, "I told you to go home." He left that one. "Look, what's happening here?" He said, "Told him." "So what are you guys doing about it?" He said, "Well, look at the size of the man. Nobody can go against him." He said, "Well, we'll see about that." So, what did the king say about this? They said, "Well, the king said, look, if any man take this man out, I'll give him my daughter." Say, "Give him my daughter?" I like the sound of that. Hallelujah. He said, "Well, okay, bring me to the king." Meanwhile, the king heard some rumblings. He said, "Look, there's a young man here that's talking." You know, meanwhile, you know, the Philistine Goliath, he's talking what we used to call, you know, when you are on the basketball court, we call it talking trash. You know, he's just talking all that kind of stuff. You know, "None of you can face me. I'm going to kill all of you. Give me one person," and so on. David goes before the king, and you know the rest of the story. King said, "Well, you can't go. You can't do that." I said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, because you're just a boy. And this man is a trained, military, superior military personnel. You know, I mean, he's trained. He's a killer. from his youth and up. Nobody can go against him. You know how many people he has killed? David said, well, that may be so, but I'll tell you what. You know, when I kept my... So he went back to the same story. And this is all he knows. The sheep. Praise God. When I kept my father's sheep. And meanwhile, it's like, sheep? We're talking about battle here. We're talking about sheep. Well, hear me out now. When I kept my father's sheep, one day along came a lion. And it took one of the little lambs from the flock when I wasn't looking. Then when I saw him, I went after him. I grabbed him and I smote him. And I recovered that which was mine. And like, you went into hand-to-hand combat with the lion. And you come out of there, you know, and say, well, yeah. And he said, look, that wasn't all. After that, one day, a bear rose up against me as well, you know, took one of mine. I went after him. You're not taking something that belongs to me. He rose up against me, and I guarantee you, when he rose up against me, he looked just as tall as this man out there. And the Lord was preparing him for it. He didn't know what he was doing, you know, but he remembered when that bear, you know, those bears, when they stand up like that and pound their chest, they can be about 9 feet tall sometimes. A big, you know, bent over, but when they stand up, huge thing. And they said, look, the Lord delivered those things into my hands. He'll deliver this one into my hand as well. Amen. And then he went out against him. You know, king said, okay, you know, in as much as you are, you know, this is suicide. On a suicide mission here. Let's say, look, you know, I don't know. Nobody will forgive me if I send a little boy. You know, so anyway, here, put on my armor, take my shield, put on my this, put on my that. And David tries to put the thing on, he falls down. Because the thing is too heavy. It's like, I can't use this. What is this? Get this off of me. So meanwhile, he remembers the place where he used to go. He remembered his comfort zone. The place where he used to praise the name of the Lord. He remembered the place where he used to go and say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, he will be with me. Even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm coming out. I'm coming out victor. I say, look, give me some time. Just give me a few minutes. So he runs off. Goes to the brook. I don't know how long it takes him. And he goes there. And while he's there, the angel of the Lord directs him. Pick that one. Pick that one. Pick that one. He picks up 5 smooth stones. Rolls them up. Puts them in his pocket. Takes his sling and goes right back out. He said, king, I'm ready. The king looks at him. What you got? Well, you know, I got this stuff. I said, you know, this is not going to work. Said, don't worry about it. Just send me out there. He goes out against the guy, Goliath. Everybody blows the horn that, hey, they've got a champion coming out from the camp of Israel. Meanwhile, there was something in David's heart where he said, this is the Lord's fight. Everybody else said, this man has come out against the armies of Israel. David said, no. This man came out against the armies of the living God. Hallelujah. So already he's approaching this thing in the spiritual. And he knows the Lord will fight for him. So he goes out. You know, Goliath steps out. In fact, Goliath is coming out because this man likes to fight. This Goliath man. He's thinking that, man, yeah, there's really somebody that has some muscles that we can really get into it. He comes out. He sees this thing. I mean, like, are you kidding me? And you have a sling in your hand? What do you think I am? You think I'm a dog? David said, well, thou sayest so. I'm going to have your head today. The man said, look, when I finish with you, I'm coming after your king. You know, I asked you guys to send me somebody that can fight me. You send me a little boy. You know, what do you think we're doing here? When I finish him, I'm finish the rest of you. He's thinking in his heart. David said, meanwhile, the angel of the Lord guiding his hand. He took that stone. There's only one place. There's only one place in this man's armor that is not protected. He's got the helmet.
He's got the breastplate. He's got the this. He's got the shield. He's got the... But right in between his eyes. Hallelujah. That's only one spot. And David, he rolled that stone and slung that thing. And I guarantee you, the angel of the Lord, boom, struck that thing right there. Perfect aim. And meanwhile, the one just stung, fell down. David didn't even have any weapon in his hand. Did you know it? Did you know he didn't have any weapon? He had to run and carry. And when he tried to grab the guy's sword, he couldn't even do it. Two hands. What is this? With two hands, he grabs the guy's sword, you know, smashes down his neck. You know, first he had to get that helmet off his head. You know, I'm just telling a story here. Where did he read all that stuff from? Storytelling, you know, so that you can enjoy. Kicked that helmet off his head, and then found that place, smashed it in. My goodness. And then carried that thing and lift it up. Hallelujah to the God of Israel. David was not trained to be a soldier. He was not trained. Nobody even sent him to the battle. All his brothers, some of his brothers were there. He was at home. David was not regarded as anything for the kingdom. But he was the one that God chose. So let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. You may not be planning for it. People may count you out. But if it is God's destiny for you, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Now, God's purposes concerning you cannot be thwarted or defeated by the devil. The purpose of God shall stand. Hallelujah. You can put your hands together for that. Hallelujah. The purpose of the Lord shall stand. And here's what the Lord said. He said, look, I already know the end from the beginning. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And what does he say in Isaiah 46 and 10? He says, the Lord declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure concerning your life, saith the Lord. Now, so it's a short exhortation I want to give today because I want to pray for you. Now, you may not be planning for it, and sometimes we can really plan something, and that may not be the way it works out. In fact, you know, in the book of Proverbs chapter 16, the very last verse is, you know, when you cast the lot, say the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. How it turns out, you know, that's God. You can cast the lot, but how it turns out is God. The difference is that with God is, God doesn't cast any lot. Hallelujah. He doesn't need to try to guess how things will come out. He already knows everything from the beginning. He knows the end. And the persons that he has chosen to carry out his will, you know, the Lord will equip them for it, even if they were not preparing for it. Now, I have many more stories like that in the Bible, but I wanted to keep this short today. You know, and didn't want a very long service, because we do have an event after service. So, the thing I want to tell us today, though, is this. With many of these stories that we see in the Bible, it isn't so much the preparation that the people did. It wasn't so much that
They were trained for it. And training and preparing is a good thing. But for the most part, these ones were not even trained. All these ones that we talked about, you know. I mean, they were, might be trained in something else, but they might not have been trained in the very duties that they were going into. I mean, Daniel was trained in sciences and stuff like that. But he wasn't trained to be a king. He wasn't trained to be a president. He wasn't trained to be the chief of the presidents, you know, but, you know, he was the one that was chosen. And the grace and anointing of God that was upon his life began to come out. You know, it's going to come out eventually. It begins to come out. You know, and there is something, you know, that the way the Lord does it and protects that destiny. Now, some time ago, I preached on providence and destiny. Now, let me just bring this in here before I close. Destiny is where you are headed. And it's like a destination. That's the end of something, or the end of a journey, or, you know, the end state, or the end goal. Providence is what the Lord puts in place to protect, to guard, to direct, and make sure that destiny comes to pass. And so God's providence will watch over you. Hallelujah. The things that God has ordained in your life, you know. Now, some of you, you know, are ordained to real greatness. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit said, tell him about Abraham. You know, I'll just tell you for a couple minutes because I want to close. Abraham, at the one time he was called Abraham, wasn't planning for anything. In fact, in Genesis chapter 11, everybody else was planning to be great. He didn't join them. He wasn't part of them. He said, well, here's what we're going to do. Let's build these towers up to heaven. Make us ourselves a name. Let's do all these great things and so forth. And they decided to build. Abraham wasn't one of them. In fact, he wasn't even part of it. But God said, no, you guys will not do it. And the Lord scattered them. You know the story. Confused their languages. He scattered all of them. Then he turned around in chapter 12 and picked somebody who wasn't even thinking about it. He wasn't even planning for anything. And the Lord said, I will make you great. Hallelujah. And the other people, they wanted to be great. God said, no, I'm bringing you down. This man wasn't thinking about God said, I will make you great. I will make you great. And I will make you, you know, like your, you know, sons of the sea and so forth will be, you know, your thing. And Abraham wasn't even thinking about it. At that time, he didn't even know too much about the Lord. He dwelt in a land of unbelievers and so forth, idol worshippers and all that. But the Lord hand-picked him. Let me read that one verse to you before we pray. Now, you might want to read this story because it's an interesting story. Because it's not always the people that want to be great, you know, that in the eyes of God become great. You know, but, you know, here's what the Lord, after the drama in Genesis 11, here's what the Lord said in Genesis chapter 12. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, and so forth, to the land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now, these people in chapter 11 wanted to make a name great for themselves, a great name. They said, let's do this. Let's build a tower. Let's build this. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to do it. Now, here's somebody who's not doing anything like that. He's not planning of it. Minding his own business, so to speak. But the Lord handpicked him. He said, you, I will make great. And I will make you of you a great nation. And this is how God does his things. Why? Well, you know, to the end that there may be no flesh that will glory in his presence. Praise the Lord. Now, so if you're looking at yourself and thinking that you are not sufficient, remember the scripture that says our sufficiency is of the Lord. Now, the Lord is the one that is going to do it. All we got to do is love the Lord our God with all your heart. You know, do whatever it is that your hand finds doing. Do it faithfully as unto the Lord. Leave the rest unto God. You know, how God plans something, people don't even know sometimes. You know, but the end will tell.
Hallelujah.
The story will always tell. I want you to stand to your feet, and now I'm going to pray. The prayer that I'm going to pray for us this morning is that, you know, one, you may be currently despised and rejected or think that you will not be anything. Well, that's what somebody else thinks. God may think differently. Amen. And you may be thinking within yourself, well, I'm not prepared for that. I don't know how to do that. Well, he will give you strategy if he calls you. You know, he always does that. But I want you to know that, look, the people that were least expected to be anything, like David, the very one that God chose. And even though the lesson today is, even though you are not preparing for it, even though you didn't plan for it, it doesn't mean that that is not your destiny. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will help you to discover what that destiny might be. Amen. Because a man's heart prepares, his ways, devises his ways, devises his plans, and everything. But the Lord is going to tell you where you're going. The Lord is going to fix your path, where you're actually going. Direct your paths is where the Lord is going to do. So let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for myself and all my brethren today, that we may have understanding of this short exhortation. That whether we are preparing for it or not, that whether we know about it or not even, if it is the Lord's counsel, and if it's the Lord's will, then it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. And may the Lord strengthen everyone with this revelation and this knowledge, that God is the one that walketh in you, both to will and to perform of his good pleasure, according to Philippians 2 and 13. You may not know about it at first, but if God chose you to be, he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And everyone that God called, the Bible says, who goeth at any time, you know, who goeth to battle, who goeth to war at his own charges at any time, the laborer is worthy of his hire. If the Lord called you, he'll take care of you, take care of business. And if he puts you in a place, what we need to do is to pray that the Lord will show you the purpose while we are there. May the Lord give us understanding and show us the purpose while we are there, and show and reveal to us his plans for our lives, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.